Okay, welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen meeting, accounts payable, Tuesday, November 18th, 2025, 6 p.m. New board roundtable immediately following accounts payable meeting at the Bolton Town Hall. First, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And I would like to congratulate our new members.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Also nice to have you back, Bob. And then I'd like to have a, hi, Casey. Any public comment?
Oh, no problem.
There is public comment? Oh, not on our AP meeting.
Sure. Me, please.
An AP.
Member of the public, yay. 23 Gulf Road, Bolton, PT. So I'll follow up with a sample, but in front, I don't know if you guys all have the template in front of you. They printed it. But ultimately, so obviously you guys were all part of this crazy referendum season we had with how many? Six. Man. And so throughout that process, obviously we were getting feedback from the public on what they would like to see. But at that point, it was kind of late, too late to get it into the budgets, right? Which is what I was telling people. I said, if you want these changes, you need to make the requests early. As you can see, nobody listens and they're not here. So I figured I would do it for them so that they couldn't say the request hadn't been made and that, you know, no one was advocating for them. And so basically the feedback that I am providing is as a result of the conversations that I had with public folks throughout the budget season. So my request is that the Board of Selectmen asked the administration to please use a slightly different template than we have used in the past that will lend itself to a couple of things. So you'll notice that it's pretty similar to what we've used in the past with a few small changes. So my suggestion is using the most recent year's unaudited actuals instead of the unaudited actuals from the 2 years prior, right? Because you want the most recent data, which we should have at this point, because the budget is, should be closed out, though not audited, for FY25.
So the 2 years prior would be what year? 23?
FY24, 25. So it would be 23, 24. And then the prior years would be 24, 25. So FY25. And this year, no, we already approved. Oh my goodness, sorry, it's been a long day. We are currently in FY26. So prior year would be FY25. 2 years ago would be FY20.
223.
You're going to be doing the FY27 budget, right? Is what you're putting together. So then FY26 would be prior year. FY25 would be 2 years prior. Mm-hmm. So you want the, so row column one would be FY25, prior year adopted from FY26, prior year unaudited actuals from FY26. So the year we just finished. And then there's the request from the Board of Selectmen. And then there's two columns that I have always historically calculated on my own, which is a little, you know, challenging when we get it in a PDF version, right? But it's the difference in dollar value for the line item and the percent difference, right? I think those are things that you always want to look at. And that way you don't have to calculate it on your own or ask someone else to calculate it for you. And then down below, a detailed justification. So we've gotten better at this over the years. And so this is just the next step in like a lot of improvements that have been made over the last 3 years to our budgeting process, right? Every year we try to make a little bit of improvements on our prior, on what we did the previous year. And so my suggestion this year is to make sure that the justification is a bit more detailed, right? Historically, the justification is only included kind of the line items that are, or the things that make up the line item, but not the dollar values associated with them. Right. And so I do have a sample and I was trying to log into the meeting so that I could pull it up on the screen. But I will make sure that you guys get access to it. But ultimately, whatever the total value is that's being requested from the Board of Selectmen up here, you should see the details of how you're getting to that total in the justification. So if it's salaries, it should be two FTEs at 100,000 each, one FTE admin assistant at 200, $45,000, and you should be able to add up the information that's in here to get to the totals. One, that'll save you guys a lot of time as these director as the directors present to you, right? Because historically, we've always had to say, like, well, how much is that specific part of the line item, and how much is the contract with XYZ? You shouldn't have to ask it, one, because it makes the meeting longer, and two, because that doesn't end up getting codified in a way that the public can see it. Right, we have it in our notes and it may be in meeting minutes, but that's not easy for the public to access. So, those are the two reasons why I suggest doing the justification that way, so that it's codified for the public and that you guys ask less questions and don't have to rely on your notes. It's already there. And then, in theory, you could probably move from five budget workshops to two because you've already viewed all the details and don't have to ask as many questions. So, it should be a more efficient process in the long run. I wouldn't ask for this if I thought it was going to be hard for folks, right? If we are truly doing zero-based budgeting, which means starting at zero and building up with all the small expenses, all the department head should have all those small details already, right? If you're building from zero, you already know how you're getting that larger number for each account, and you have that somewhere. So it's really just taking it from wherever they currently have that data right now and putting it in this format. The biggest lift, albeit, would be creating these templates for each department, and that would obviously be on Jill's department, right? Getting those unaudited actuals and the adopted budgets into this template. My understanding is that she really already has this template, but would just have to add these extra columns or whatever. And I provided it in Excel format, so it shouldn't be very hard. Staff should be filling it out in Excel and not in PDFs because the Excel will do the formulas will be calculated for you, right? For the per value change and the percent change, pretty easy there. And then ideally, you guys would get it in PDF version if you would like, but also in Excel version. So if you wanted to play around with it, you could do so throughout the budget process like we have in the past year. So that was my thinking. The only other thing I don't think I covered is that it would be ideal if non-union wages could be put in here as well as the supervisor wages, because people wanted to see the salaries of folks. And there were folks who worked at other towns who said that their town posts a list of all of the salaries, right? You don't put Jim's salaries XYZ, you put town administrator salary XYZ, right? It's not contingent upon who has the job, it's contingent upon the position. The union contracts, they can go look at the supervisors because they're the larger ticket items. It makes sense to put it in here. And I will be making that request to the Board of Education as well because people were asking that for the Board of Education as well. So that we're just transparent, right? The only way we can combat the false information is being even more transparent year after year. There's still going to be naysayers, but at least we can say, hey, this is what we did in response to your feedback. And this is how they'll determine if the budget's reasonable or not, right? Everybody's saying our budgets aren't reasonable. Well, show me exactly which line item don't you think is reasonable, right? We're giving them all the information. There's nothing they can come to us with. So,
So you think false information that's posted, or something, not our information. Okay. Just making that clear for you.
So, that was.
Are you allowed to interact during this public
Not
comment?
not generally during
No.
public comment.
No.
Good.
But I'll send you the sample so you can see how it's supposed to
Thank you.
look.
But maybe we'll put this on another agenda and have Jill and Ross, if he's the chairman, put their couple cents in.
So this isn't relevant to the finance. I mean, it's relevant, but it's not because this is how the budget gets presented to you guys as a board.
Yeah.
So they'll get it in whatever format you guys end up giving it to them.
Right. I know. I think Jill's 3 weeks into this so far. She's got all these forms already filled out.
We started our budget process in mid-October. So that's when we started preparing. So I think there are other things at play that the Board of Selectmen should hear from the finance director before making any kind of decisions on this.
Because when she fills those in,
they're all tied back to the main budget worksheet.
Correct. So she can just add the columns into there.
Yeah.
So
to try to recalculate it all, she'd probably have to redo those worksheets as well.
Well, couldn't.
Can I ask a quick question too, just point of clarification new here? So are we not allowed to interact, or are we?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Well,
I think it's at your discretion.
It is a, so it's at the select.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm kind of thinking we should just bring it up at maybe the next meeting or the one after and have Jill involved so that she can explain what's already done. I mean,
If you held off on implementing the changes to the first three columns that I suggested, the others are not hard to add to the column without her having to really change anything. Just adding that percent, the request, the value change and the percent change is not hard. And then this table that's at the bottom is already on the current PDF. It's just about how you go about it versus the template.
yeah, we've already started including that information.
Right.
So that's already, some of it's already implemented.
That may, this in this format, it may drive more detail, but it's what we, this has been an evolving process over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I don't think we want to wait too long because until too long into the budget season if we are going to implement this, because then we may as well get it in started sooner rather than later.
Well, I think our worksheets already have most of this on them, don't they? It's just
Right, it's really
a little
only
more
adding a
broken
few
down.
keys into it, honestly.
It's a little more broken down this than the headings. I mean, we already get explanations on why the budget is increasing.
I think if you're going to discuss it, you should add it to the agenda.
Oh, okay, right. So,
Right.
okay, we'll bring this up at the next meeting or
Would
the
you
following one.
like to discuss it tonight? Because I'll make a motion to add it to the agenda tonight if you feel like this is the right time to do that.
Well, we don't have Jill here, who's the one who would be affected the most.
Okay.
When's our next meeting?
I wouldn't be
December
affected.
December 2nd.
I honestly don't think it would impact Jill all that much. Just adding value change columns should take literally probably 15 minutes total to all the spreadsheets, and they don't, if it doesn't tie back to the main page, that's fine as long as you have it at the department level. And then the rest of the burden is on the department heads to provide that level of detail that I talked about in the justification section, really.
So we can just request Jill to add that one column, the percentage column.
If you
I
waited on the
don't.
other changes I made in
Yeah.
terms of the prior years and waited until next year to do that,
That's the preference.
it would be
Wait
easiest.
till next year to do it.
It would be easiest, yeah. But
So
add the value change and the percentage change this year.
we'll consult
Or,
with
yeah.
Jill and
Okay.
see what it is she can do.
So would this be more of an administrative change
I don't think
based on
so.
recommendations, or do we want to add it to the next agenda?
The specific request from public was to have the administration implement these changes through the Board of Selectmen.
That's us.
Right.
So,
That is what I understood the request of.
Yeah. Can I share my screen real briefly? Can
you what?
I share my screen for a hot second?
Yes.
So this was the sample, right? Numbers are pretty cut and dry. And just to be clear, the oh,
Can easily
okay.
disappear. We don't want disappearing numbers, Amanda.
Well, no, that would be
That
all
would be
right.
bad.
All right, because I hit stop share, that's why it disappeared. So numbers are totally made up. I want to be very clear, like totally made up. They're just for purpose of illustration, right? So obviously the value change and percent change, but this is the area where.
Thank you for the raise, by the way.
I was like, oh, my numbers aren't adding up, and I don't know how many other FTEs are in this department.
Where's mine?
So this is an example of the justification, right? So it just adds a little bit more meat to what we currently get and includes dollar values. And in that justification, you would include the makeup of each individual line item, but also speak to where the increases and decreases are all in one area. So if someone were to go through and add 150K plus 90K plus 50 plus 1380 times 6 plus 18,000, it would total to what you're asking for up above. So they can't come and say, like, there's money missing, right? You allocated 100,000, but you're only talking telling me where 20's going. You must be like pilfering 60 grand elsewhere. I did math wrong, but just to increase the transparency, and I don't know if you guys can see because that's really small, but oh, now it's going really big. But this is an example of, and so this is like, just to be clear, like this is how when I in my job have to submit a grant to a funder, I have to provide what's called a budget justification, how I got to that total. And so this is an example. I don't include like why it increased or decreased, obviously, but this is an example of a budget that I would submit to get funding to a
Right, this would be a lenient budget justification.
Lenient
yeah.
budget? Yeah.
It would be.
Okay.
I mean, those are just examples, of, and I'll send this out, but I just wanted to.
Let's
thank you. Appreciate your work.
Yeah, very
thank
much.
Thank you, Amanda.
Okay. I get where you're going with it.
Well, I think it would be a good idea to have it on the December 2nd agenda. And with Joe's input, if
I think
possible.
Jim is gone that week, right?
I'm gonna try to be here. I'm traveling that day. I'm coming back from North Carolina. I will try to be here, but I think it's important that you have Jill part of your conversation.
I do too. Yeah.
So if Joe can be here, I think I agree with when sooner rather than later. If we're going to make changes, because we've already sent out the budget worksheets for supervisors to start working on, and they're due back to us on December 22nd. We if we take a couple of weeks to get this implemented, we could push that out a couple of weeks. It just makes for crunch time in the selectman's office, but it's always crunch time in the selectman's office.
So we'll just add that to this.
Maybe cut out a budget workshop for you.
Yeah. Good. Thank you for that.
Okay, next is our
thank you.
Our discussion and possible.
Excuse me, I have a couple of things under public comment because they're not on the agenda.
Okay.
So one is reviews. I had for the town administrator and for the department heads. Remember, I sent you that.
Send that back to you, did I?
I didn't see anything from you. I don't
okay.
think I don't think you did.
I
mean, the email I got from you said you're looking into it.
Yeah, and I got a long ways into it. I was looking for a couple of dates and so forth. But
okay, so that's for to do the town administrator review.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yep. Again,
okay.
Your public comment. So we're not supposed to discuss it.
Okay. And then the other thing is the what about the department head reviews? Are they available to
which I responded at the last meeting is that I have all the department head reviews are complete. I'm working on sitting with the department heads and going through them. And they can either be made available to you or I will create an executive summary for the board when they're done.
I'd like to see them. The charter requires them to be done in writing and then given to the first selectman and a copy to the rest of the board. So I would like to see them in writing. So that was one of my public comments. The other one is we need to appoint a deputy for selectman. So that's not on the agenda.
We'll put that on the next agenda.
It needs to
be today, according to the town charter.
Which section were you looking at?
5-2-E or something like that.
Was it about?
Pardon me. Very important.
So I didn't see anything specifically about the timing of the appointment of the deputy first selectman, but I know that the organizational meetings have to be held, but I'm not sure that applies to the board of selectmen.
6-4.
Yeah, at the first meeting of the board of selectmen, the board of selectmen shall select a deputy first selectman. Yep. Thank you.
So then we're going to make a motion to add that into the minutes, into the agenda.
I would do that. I would make a motion to add that to the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second, Bryce Aronson.
So we will make that 2A.
You got to vote.
And is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 I will.
Well, we got to finish public comment.
Public, okay.
Good. Yeah, I'm all done with mine.
Okay. And is there any other public comment? No? Okay. Let's move on to 2A. a nomination for deputy chairman.
I will make a motion to nominate Gwen Marion as deputy chairman.
Are there any other nominations? I nominate Tim. Oh, can I?
I'll make a motion to nominate Tim.
So now we pull up a vote.
Oh, neither one has a second.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay. Who moved for Tim?
Mather Clark moved for Tim.
Thank you.
We have second.
I will second Gwen.
Gwen.
David Coles.
And the second for Tim would be Rodney. Tim can't second himself. So I guess we just take a vote. All in favor of Gwen Marion? Say aye.
Aye.
Four, all in favor of Tim?
Aye.
Three. Congratulations, Gwen.
Thank you.
Next is the discussion and act on tie-in bonds. Run over of $7,500. There was a discussion at the meeting for the buildings. Buildings.
Buildings and Public Safety Subcommittee.
And there was no final result from that. It was going to be brought to us, and our choices are to pay it, not to pay it, or negotiate.
Or to negotiate.
So, is there any discussion?
Lots.
Okay.
Why don't you start?
Well, as a summary to folks that just because the committee heard the argument and the proposal from Tie and Bond, the general gist of it is the engineering firm Tie and Bond is requesting an additional $7,500 for their services rendered. Their explanation is that the contractor, Stanford Wrecking, took longer than expected, and so they acquired additional hours for monitoring hazardous waste, hazardous materials. Bolton, I mean, the committee's not very thrilled that this request came after the work was not complete. Per the contract, or should I say per the previous amendment, or change order, they were supposed to request those funds in writing prior to the funds being expended, or the hours being expended. So that's the summary. Gwen?
Yeah, we had already paid them, and that's not totally relevant, just point of reference, that we already paid them $25,000 for an overage, and I think that was an overage related to Stanford Wreckings.
But we knew that. We acted on it. We right. discussed it and approved it.
Yeah, and did they come to us before the overage?
No, and that's clear in the communications.
No, I mean for the 25,000.
Yes.
So okay, so they knew that they that's did. What they yep. were supposed to do,
and they admitted that to you in their letter.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, he said he made a mistake, but he also said, let's see what he said. He said he felt that they fell short in their communications, but he also said he thought Bolton was more aware of the delays than we were. I mean, so I felt that the representative said he made a mistake, but he didn't take full responsibility for it, which was a little bit disappointing. So, and Tim made a nice suggestion or a good point at the end of the meeting. He said, well, is it really worth leaving this project on a bad note for $7,500? And Jim had said that they did good work. He was happy with the work, but still, it's not going to leave a great taste in our mouths if we pay the $7,500. And it's already kind of changed the nature of the relationship, in my opinion. So,
quick question: contract. What was the total value, including all amendments?
I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
Like, just thinking, is the $7,500 like 1%, 10%?
Oh, it's
about 1.2 million.
Okay, so yeah. Well, more of that 1%.
Well, there. I mean, I think there
1.2 million includes Stanford, right?
So I think yeah. if the engineering... and these are round numbers. I think in total, their contracts with the amendments were around $75,000.
Okay.
Yeah, about 10%.
So this is about 10%.
Since they've admitted some mistakes made, would it be, could we negotiate this with them like we did before?
That's a choice.
They will split it or something like that. To your point of not ruining the relationship on something that went, overall went well, that we were happy with, right? Would that be?
Yeah, we did that when Stanford Wrecking went 70,000 over.
Right.
We split the cost, we split the difference there, chipped in 35,000.
Good with negotiating it. That would be my take. I hesitate to just hand the whole thing over.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
And I hesitate to pay nothing.
Yeah.
That room's a bed.
I feel that way also.
So I think we should give Jim the authority to negotiate the payment. And I think in good faith, Jim will keep it as low as he can or reasonable. Does anybody
I object agree with to that?
I mean, I don't want him coming back to us saying, well, I got this deal. I got this deal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And I would just think about it too, they break down what the fees are. So thinking about, hey, which one of those fees would have occurred already, like writing the report would have occurred, the additional time to write the report should have been accounted elsewhere. So there's some things that you can think about, hey, what's the value of this and what value should they have included in their previous cost, but then they're trying to overlay into this amended cost. So
well, that's very true.
Part of the fee.
Yeah. Are you
decision,
with this,
negotiating Jeff? Decision.
I will do whatever the board wants me to do. I'm happy to negotiate this if that's what they're choosing to do this.
Do we want to make a motion here? I think we
have I would say maximum half. I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go any more than half with that. What were you going
to
say?
No, I agree with that too. But like to David's point, like kind of go through these numbers and say which ones, you know, the three additional days, the demolition monitoring, like obviously that seems relevant to, you know, the project overrun.
Yep.
But you know, additional time for closeout reports. I don't know exactly what that means, but
or the laboratory analysis, like
should some of that should have been included, but to your point, included somewhat, within the rest of it. So I don't know if we can kind of come up with some kind of dollar amount that we can go to them with based on this breakdown.
Well, if we go with Gwen's, like no more than half, that $2,800 is a little bit less than half. So being the half point would be. Slightly
less
than but
but those maybe say like we're willing to pay $3,500 or something.
Yeah, maybe the mea culpa payment difference
up to 45 or something. And leave it at that.
Well, I like the three.
Before you actually pick a number, is Rodney or Jim going to do the negotiation?
Jim would do the negotiations.
All right. My thing is, after researching Time Bond, they are very, very experienced. I have a personal, it bothers me that they are going this direction. They know they should have known that they were, like you said before, they should have known that this was a possibility. And I'm very concerned that we're setting a precedent here by even negotiating anything. I don't think we should be. So if we're going to go with a negotiation, I think you ought to look at the specific breakdown of numbers and go according to what you really think, Jim, that they deserve. By virtue of the actual charges for the four different categories, not just the blank half, don't negotiate 50%. No, that's my feeling. In other words, have a reason for what you're willing to negotiate for. How much? What's the reason? Don't just say 50%.
I mean, I agree
Bob, and I think even if we negotiated, quite frankly, I'd be disappointed in their decision to go after these funds. I mean, they have an option right now to withdraw the request and leave on a great note. We'd be a great referral because they'd be a good partner.
Mm-hmm.
And by even hanging on to this,
even
if we negotiate, don't expect us to be a good referral, quite frankly. I'll be very vulnerable.
Or a follow-up customer.
What's up?
Or potentially a follow-up customer.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm actually, that's kind of what I was thinking too, that I don't necessarily see the benefit in this, unless this is, you know, a company that we work with quite frequently.
Yeah.
And
the only reason I'm suggesting I would support negotiating is, or down, I mean, the dollars are minimal. We're about to talk about $200,000 expenditure on the AP report.
Right.
It's just about the principal. And if they want this money that badly, then we can negotiate down half, I guess. But certainly we're not going to pay the whole thing on behalf of the taxpayers, because we have a responsibility to push back on their request for additional funds. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that we let them negotiate. The negotiation should target half or less.
So we have used tie and bond on a few different applications around. And they bid quite a few with us too. So it's you're not going to get away from them when you do different projects. They're always out there.
That's helpful context. Thank you.
Is there a motion?
I would make a motion that we allow Jim executive ability to negotiate the payment with tie and bond, and also give them one last opportunity to withdraw their request.
And a quick question on that, then it would come to the board to vote on again.
We're just giving him power to make the deal. So we'll have to drag this $7,500 out.
And
I would report back to the board.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, but in the course of business in a town, it's just a lot.
Tim, would you be willing to amend your motion to include a maximum?
Feel free to actually just redo it.
Or just negotiate the maximum of half of what the
Just make a separate motion. I withdraw my motion. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought yours was beautiful.
Oh, okay.
But she said amend.
Yeah.
Adam.
you could just the same motion, just amend it to say that Jim's authority is to negotiate up to half of what's being requested.
Yeah. Okay. I would make a motion that the Board of Selectmen give Jim the authority to negotiate the additional request of tie and bond with the result not to exceed half of the request of $7,500.
Thank you. I'll second that motion.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That's seven yes. Well, good luck, Jim.
Thanks.
Did Bob vote?
Yeah, did Bob vote?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Bob, did you put your hand up?
No.
Oh.
Are you abstaining or saying no?
No.
Or yes? No.
No.
So Bob's a no vote.
Six yes and one no.
No.
Thank you, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something with this screen.
Me too.
No, Bob's in my phone spot there.
Let me know, Rob.
All right, now we're going to consider an act on accounts payable.
Mr. Selectman, I would make a motion that we accept the accounts payable of $200,242.00.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Mather, seconded that. Any discussion?
I have a couple. Page two, Brown and Brown. I know I've asked this before. So Brown and Brown, it's insurance services, monthly consulting contract, $770 a month. So that's like close to $10,000 a year. Do we really need to be spending $10,000 on a consultant? I'm sure they give good advice, but is it worth $10,000 a year?
Sorry. I mean, they are. I certainly understand. I assume you're addressing the question.
Yes.
They're the general.
Yeah.
So they are a very, very good company, and I believe that they provide a lot of support, and they likely save us more than they cost us every year with their services, and they are the ones that help us through negotiating the insurance. They solve a lot of problems for us, and They help us figure out our numbers at the end of the year. They're the ones that get us our rates from the insurance companies. There's a lot of work that they do behind the scenes that we don't necessarily see as a group as tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So they provide us with our liability insurance.
It's health insurance mostly for the school, for the Board of Education and the town, which is
and just
200 employees. I mean, it's
does the Board of Ed pay a portion of this too?
I don't recall that that's what.
Okay. So it's possible that this is covering all 250.
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I focused on, what you said, Jim, was that you feel like we're getting more value back than we're paying in their fee, and if you really feel that that's true, then I would be comfortable with this.
We would struggle to get a lot of the information that we get, and from time to time we have problems. And they help us negotiate and navigate through those issues. And they're very proactive. When they see changes coming, they're proactive to share those changes with us.
Okay.
So that we're equipped ahead of time to deal with those changes.
Okay.
So they deal with claims as well, right?
Not normally, but if we have a problem, they can help us with, because they have contacts that we don't.
So do they act as like an agent for us?
They really are.
They are. Yeah. That's what they are. That's what they're doing. Yeah.
Was that your question, Tip?
I was going to ask if there's an issue that arises. I assume this is a retainer. So are there additional hourly fees?
No, we've never charged us any more than the
month. So it's like $10,000. Is that the math?
Yeah.
Just $9,200
for how much insurance do we buy?
$2 million.
That's a lot.
It's good advice. That's well worth it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I appreciate that explanation.
And so, let me just expound on that just a bit further. From time to time, we look at going out to bid for our insurance. And these are the guys that help us get all of that information. And they do comparisons to make sure, because in our contracts, we have to make sure that the insurance is equal or better. And they're the ones that do all of the analysis to make sure that our insurance is equal or better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Well, I'll try to remember not to ask that question.
That's okay. Well, it's also great for our new member.
If it goes on, we get new ears here.
Number 770 in your head.
Any questions, Bob?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I did have one.
Yeah, okay.
Just one more. On page 14, the Reed Custom Soils, I see that there's additional stone dust was purchased for the connectivity trail. So is that the Porsche? What is that, the trail that's going from the former Harney House here?
To here, yes.
Okay. And I don't think it's been spread yet, though, right?
It has.
There's new stone dust on it.
If you don't know it, that's probably good.
Yeah.
So we were having.
And was the whole thing respray or just a second?
So a couple of sections were redone and some repairs were done. We had a real problem with the fines washing out of the stone dust that was put on the trail, and we were having ruts, especially where we had some slight slopes.
Yeah, where
drainage. Right. So we did some research and we found a company out of Massachusetts that makes custom soils, and they add polymers to the soils. And we wanted to fix the problems that we were having with the connectivity trail. But before we build the next trail, we also want to trial the material and make sure it's going to stand the test of time, so that we have a good tried and true solution before we build the next trail.
So are these polymers inorganic?
I do believe they are, yes.
So then we could potentially be having leaching or runoff issues from this?
No, they've been used all over the country. So I don't see that as an issue.
All right, thanks. Those are the only questions I had.
I have one on, not something that's particularly in here, but one something that was in here before, the $1,500 for the materials to board up the house in Birch Mountain. Were those fees ever recovered?
Not yet. Okay. There has been a lien placed on the property. So they will be recovered when the home, when it changes ownership.
Sure.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's 7 yes. Now, consider an act on budget transfers. Are there any budget transfers big enough to act?
I think there's only one for informational purposes.
We have a dollar limit of, what is it, 2,000?
Yeah.
So any transfers under 2,000 don't have to be approved by the board.
All right, now, approval of minutes from October 21st.
Mr. Selectman, I make a motion we accept the minutes from October 21st, 2025.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion?
I have one. After you're done.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
It's the under number two. The third full paragraph, it talks about setting a higher base fee of $2,000. I don't think that number's right.
No, I think it was.
It's I brought like that. It was hard. I'm not sure which base fee we were talking about because there were a number of different ones. The minimal impact base fee was 60. The residential commercial improvements was 160. Residence single family duplex base fee was 290. Residential subdivision base fee 380. So I don't know which base fee that is referring to, but I'm sure that 2,000 was too high. So I guess the Wetlands Commission is coming back in to talk to us about these fees again. We could correct it at that point. Maybe Casey could make a note that this number is.
I can explain what it was.
Okay.
Jim was saying, and I was reading these earlier and thought that didn't sound right. It should have been more of an example. He was saying that these other departments set a base fee of about $2,000. So the way I worded it was making it sound like you guys selected that.
Remove the amount, would that be sufficient?
No, the amount is actually correct if we're talking about professional and technical fees. Because that's exactly what the Planning and Zoning Commission does when they have an application that they anticipate to have professional, technical, legal fees. They will collect $2,000 at the time of application
as a retainer
and draw off of that, so the applicant is responsible for those fees rather than doing it the way that was suggested in the fee schedule, which was to bill an hourly rate which actually exceeds what we pay for those services.
Is there any other discussion? All in favor? You two can't vote. You three can't vote. Aye. That's 4 yes. 3 abstain. Wait, you weren't on the minutes.
Mr. Selectman, I would make a motion that we accept the minutes from the
November 3rd.
November 3rd, 2025 Board of Selectmen meeting.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that?
One very minor issue.
Yeah.
Very last paragraph. The December 18 meeting, I think, should have been November 18 meeting, but it's minor.
So that leaves me to a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That's 4 yes. 3 abstain. Discussion on the board's goals.
You maybe want to switch those and your agenda.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll move number 7 down to number 9B. So we have subcommittee assignments to be determined. So the existing Finance and Administration Subcommittee, which is the contract salaries and benefits. Currently, it's Rodney, Gwen, Mather, and Tim, and Jim. Rodney and Jim are ad hoc on the committee, no matter what, subcommittee. So would anybody like to nominate?
I'd like to make a motion to add Bryce Aronson to that committee.
How many people can we have on it? As many as we want?
No, you don't want a quorum of the board. So if Bryce goes on, somebody else should come off.
I don't think it says that in the charter.
Well, they've always made it so, because then these become board meetings rather than committee meetings. If you have a quorum of the board, they become a board meeting.
These are the unwritten things.
What meeting of more than two members is considered a meeting if they're from different parties.
It's a meeting, but then it becomes not a committee meeting. It becomes a board meeting
once it's four.
Yeah, I mean, they're all...
Because a group of four can make a decision. A group of three can't make a decision.
Because
they make recommendations.
But you always attend all those meetings, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But that means that there's always going to be four people at these meetings.
That's very true.
So...
But aren't you normally ex officio and don't vote?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I usually don't vote. But I can participate.
But your presence makes a quorum, though, whether you're voting or not. So, I mean, I can't remember any of these subcommittees ever making a vote that we felt was going to bind the whole board. Our committee meetings are usually results in a recommendation.
It's usually a recommendation to the board. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. So I don't think. I mean, I think we could have as many members as we wanted to on these committees.
I think you can. We just have to make sure that we post it correctly legally.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to leave it as six. Half the time there's always somebody absent. Anyways,
two, three, four. It would be five on finance and administration. Rodney, Gwen,
because I don't vote either. I'm just insight.
Yes. So with the addition of Bryce, it would be five on that finance and administration.
You mean the facilities and public safety?
No. Finance administration. We started with finance and administration.
Yeah. So facilities and public safety committee?
Do you want to vote on them?
We got to finish A.
Second,
all right.
Second as well.
Okay.
Okay.
David will second that.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So now for B, facilities and public safety.
I'd like to make a motion to add Bob DiPietro to the facilities and public safety subcommittee.
Second.
Is there any discussion? No.
No, but David did second in case of.
She got that. Can't
correct. She's not.
Your voices.
Bob, you're good up there?
Yeah. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's seven yes, zero no's. Human Resource Personnel Subcommittee.
I'd like to make a motion to add Bob DiPietro and Bryce Aronson to the Human Resources and Personnel Subcommittee.
Second.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
David again.
David again?
Okay, thank you.
He's enjoying seconding. Is there any other discussion? All in favor? Aye. That's seven yes. Finance Committee. We need two positions to be filled by Board of Selectmen members. One is a Republican and one is a Democrat.
I'd like to make a motion to appoint David Coles to the Finance Committee.
I'll second that.
All right, Bob. Good job, Bob.
All in favor? Any discussion?
Didn't want to take it. He was on there for years.
Is there any?
Chicken, Bob, you should have taken it.
Is there any discussions? All in favor? Aye. That's 7 Aye. Yes. Now for the Republican motion.
Make a motion to appoint Mather Clark to the.
No.
I make a motion to appoint Rodney to the Finance Committee.
Is there any discussion?
We need a second.
Okay.
Oh. I'll second.
Unless you want it. You want it? I mean, I have to appoint you.
We'll just talk about it now.
Yeah. All right.
He's just going to sub appoint you.
Right. I mean, I'll be on it. I'm there anyways.
Yeah.
I'm good. Okay. So, all right. All in favor? Aye.
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 Don't fight about it, boys. What do they give
you? I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so was that for Rodney to be appointed?
Rodney, yeah.
Correct.
And my other question is, are the people being appointed allowed to vote, or will that be a 6 and then an abstention?
No,
they can vote.
I can vote.
They can vote? Okay. Thank you.
Yes, myself, I wanted to.
So now we go on to number 7, which is discussion of the board's goals. And that brings up a different pile of paper here.
And this is different from the roundtable, or is this the same as the roundtable?
No, this is our original discussion for the roundtable.
Yeah. So it's like we're kind of moving into the second segment of.
There was a note that we were going to stay after, right?
There was a note that the roundtable would be following.
And part of the reason for that is we wanted the former members of the Board of Selectmen to be able to join you to share their perspectives about the board goals and the progress that we've made.
So should we be ending the meeting?
I think we should adjourn the meeting and then open the round table.
I second the adjournment.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 yes. Meeting adjourned. Welcome to the Town of Fulton Board of Selectmen, new board roundtable meeting immediately following.
You want to stop the recording of the meeting?
No, I don't think so.
I want to make sure.
No. It's now 6:53, and we will begin our roundtable discussion.
Can we pass some of these out?
Yes.
So.
There's 3 here.
You guys have them?
No,
thank you. Oh, no. I was coming to give it to them, but.
Oh.
Did I give one to myself?
No.
I didn't.
Well, Rodney and I will share.
Yeah. And you and Maddie will share.
Sure.
Jim, I don't know why I didn't find the rules.
Is it online for you, Bob?
I didn't find it.
I don't think it was sent out.
Well, I'll make sure you get a copy, Bob.
Thank you.
I'm sorry about that. I know that we've got a package over to you, but I guess that got missed. Would you like to invite the former member of the board to join you at the table?
Yes. Bob and Amanda, would you like to join us here? Okay.
Yes.
I don't want to move.
So we had a retreat. It was an all-day event, and we had several little workshops where we were defining what it is we thought that our goals were in the town. And what was his name?
John Alcesser.
John Alcesser. He was a he's a big guy in Coventry. He was this.
He was a town manager
for many years. Very knowledgeable on towns and he went through, and after we gave out all the information that we thought we wanted to give out, he came back with an assessment. What are you doing?
He's gonna grab a comfortable chair.
Keep the chair.
Oh, you can roll it.
Okay.
So the first,
so there's just some general information, you know, for you as new members here in the beginning. If you find that helpful, if you have questions, please always feel free to reach out to Kathy or I.
And when you do get on the Bolton email site, you will be getting quizzes and tests and things you have to take.
They're not kidding.
No,
no, it's cybersecurity training.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's easy, just time consuming. Boarding commission.
And then there's phishing emails too that are tests. So you have to look for the phishing email.
Those are the best.
Okay.
Yeah,
I passed that test and said I didn't pass.
Yeah, so there was one that was a glitch.
See?
Don't bring
down sports. They're just upset because only took the class.
So you have to be careful of how many people you're meeting with at a time, so it's not considered a meeting.
But you can caucus within your party.
And you do not copy all when you're emailing. If you have to email everybody, you either have to do three, and one. You can't do four. Because then it's a meeting. Even online, with texting.
If it is a communication related to a caucus?
A caucus is a totally different thing.
You can do anything you want as a caucus.
Yeah.
If you label it as a caucus.
So let's say that, you know, we send out an informational email and you have a question. If you hit reply all and include all seven members of the board, that constitutes an illegal meeting because it wasn't done in the public eye. You can do that as a party and caucus all you want.
Okay, gotcha.
And that opens your computer up to FOI, so they can go in and look for the whole thing.
Which is why we want to give you Town of Bolton emails, because that way your personal email is not FOI.
Right. So proceed with caution in that.
Duly noted. Thank you.
So yeah, let's go through all that. If you have any questions, just ask. Definitely don't want anybody getting us all in trouble.
It's happened on rare occasion, I would say, and we've never, never really created any hurtful.
There's no true discussion or decision. You're pretty.
Yeah, and it's never been, purposeful or malicious. It's always been an accidental thing. So we just try to keep everybody on the same page.
And in the event we go into executive session, there's no documentation. It's an executive session, and your memory is the only thing that leaves there. So no paper, no document. And we'll make sure we enforce that. So there's the Roberts rules. We try to conform to those as best we can.
You had your own set, Bob?
Is there any?
No, I'm thinking this is very nice. This is a lot of time somebody put into it. So whomever did, thank you.
Yeah. And then once you get in far enough, it's the John Elser Consulting, and an explanation on what we did.
Yeah, that's his report, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my God, too bad.
Yeah, it's okay. No.
Okay. So we had come up with, let's see, process generated 48 community issues with some overlapping and made multiple categories to help us establish priorities. Each person was given 8 target dots to select their priorities on 8 categories. And once we did that, the following chart, was there a chart? Or was there charges in the other color. You can get that, but
yeah, the color thing is in there, I think. Yeah, it's in the back.
Do you have anything to add while you're
sitting there, Bob? Is that this chart?
Yeah, I think that is. That's the dots.
Okay. So I think that's this.
So I don't have page in the chart. Here we go.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true. That's
true.
Jim, this is Bob. Oh, excuse me, Robert. If you're talking about Robert's, John Elser's report, I do have that.
Yes, that's what we're discussing, Bob.
I do have that.
Okay, great.
There were other things, Bob, in our packet that are not the Elser report.
He's new, though, but he's not new.
Yeah.
So in the last two pages.
He's a spring chicken. What are you talking about?
Are the charts that were on the wall, and we picked with our little dots what we had as priorities. So everybody had, how many dots? 7 votes each?
8
votes each, and if you calculate these out, it should be 56 votes. So the number one, two number one spots were the water. Coming up Route 44, we found that to be a priority. We've been diligently trying to make progress on that. We've had several conversations with the town of Manchester. We've gotten through to the water department. The last conversation I had with them was the capacity of water that they need to feed us. They don't necessarily are comfortable with, so they're refracking their wells. They're some hydro something for their wells, existing wells, to get more production out of it. And they expect that after that point there'll be enough water. And then the water's sitting in front of Shady Glen area, so it's got to be brought up here to get to. 3J's area, I think it's 3,000 feet.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're into $1 million, $2 million or something. We may have to put a pumping station in, and to go the whole distance, I don't know, it was $5 or $6 million. But then we have to put a water tower up in there somewhere. So it's a big event, but we would be looking for a lot of grants. We would be looking for help from some of the local businesses, maybe, developers, however that works. And of course, we have sewer up on Route 44 that's capable of more residential units. Of course, the commercial units, you're unlimited because they only have 2 bathrooms and 100,000 square feet. So that's very limited. But the residential capacity can be, I shouldn't say significant. That's not a good word, is it?
Well, it's in developing anything significant is 3 things: water, sewer, natural gas. Those are the 3 elements, the key elements. And we have 2 there now. You have the sewers. We have natural gas feeding that area. That's one of the areas that has the land capacity to do significant development when the owners are ready. And that's the other element. That's always the key element. But it's the third one, it's the water that's significant, because any significant development there, it's the sprinkler system. The insurance differential and something like that, if you're in the business, it's astronomical difference. And also limits as to what they can do and the cost. And rather, even now, look at Syndet actually put in. They put in another commercial well there, 30,000 gallons.
And they're still buying
water. And they're still bringing in additional water. Just they're processing used that how much water?
Said that.
Time and ice.
Time and ice.
Thank you.
Yeah. And not that another development would be utilized that much, but it's a key element. And Rodney, this goes back before this administration, a couple of administrations ago, even working up to this, because Sindat and also owner of the property across from 3J's originally were going to actually split a cost to help bring the water up to that point until Manchester Water come up and says, you know what, yeah, we can get water, but you can't get it because we need a pressure pump to provide the water. And that was another $1.2 million at that point.
1.2, yeah.
Yeah, to do it. So that ended that. But what it did tell us is that the folks there are willing to participate if and when it comes. So this is not something that's going to come overnight, but I think the groundwork and the it's not just a goal, but this is a goal that's actually in progress. It's baby steps initially, but once both the Manchester Water Company and the town are able to work together in developing some grant systems that allows us to plan it, develop it, and then move forward. It will be, you know, the town is always, you hear it when you guys ran for office, we need development. We've heard it, we've all heard it. And that's one of the most significant elements. You can advertise, you can do all that stuff you want. If you don't have the infrastructure there, you're blown into the wind. It's just put back in your face, not going anywhere. I'm not giving schooling, but that's the nature of that business. So this is a key element. When that happens, this town is it'll change aspects, I think, to the positive. You'll have a base there that you can't do anywhere else in town. And that base is a tax base.
What did the businesses indicate that they would be willing or able to contribute? Was there any
I'm going back 10 years, maybe.
Okay, so that may
help. But we're looking at, I don't, you're looking like $300,000 or $400,000 each to $500,000. So it was, you know,
not significant.
It was a significant dollar, even back then. So and those were two of the key players. Obviously, one was going to develop a small plaza there, so he needed a water source. Sindat, their production, I mean, they've been a great citizen in this town, and they've kept their production here and moved all their warehousing over in Weathersfield in that area.
Are we allowed to partner with private businesses?
We can do public-private.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember suggesting, or not suggesting, but, you know, we were talking about possible solutions, and one was to put a road in somewhere, but can we not have developers build a town road?
Is that different? Developers build town roads all the time.
They build them all the time. We just, once we, it has to be built to our specs.
Okay.
And
it just costs a lot. That was the, okay.
There's a difference between a town road and if you're doing a condo development, you're putting in essence, extensive driveways, and those specs are different.
It's just cheaper to build.
Well, but the other difference is you don't have to make
that's
a key element.
If we develop or expand upon, I haven't read the details, right, but our affordable housing plan and have any chance of doing any type of affordable housing along that stretch, there are now grant opportunities through 8002 through the state to improve your infrastructure
in 2028, beginning in 2028.
Well, I don't know that we'll get. I mean,
you think that water would be included in that?
Yes,
it definitely
would be
part of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what are our next steps then? What can we be doing to move?
So the other piece of this is that, so, you know, Rodney's discussed the fact that, you know, we've met with the town of Manchester, we continue to meet with the town of Manchester, we've met with the Manchester Water and Sewer Authority, we continue to have those meetings, but staff, the Sewer Authority, are also meeting with developers who are interested in developing and may be willing to invest some dollar value. So what we've talked about most recently is potentially breaking this into phases and do phase one, which would get us to the cider mill property. And then, you know, phase two potentially to the crest of the hill. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, the goal might be to, you know, get water
to Coventry,
all the way to Coventry, so that all of Route 44 is now increased for development possibilities.
So that
within the zones that planning and zoning have created, and those conversations are happening as we speak
with developers.
With developers, yes.
Yeah. Sweet.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, just sweet.
Yeah.
I thought that the last we heard from
good.
From you via Patrice was that the only interest that she has heard in the cider mill property was for residences. But this is sounding like if there's water in the future, I mean, I think that's a prime piece that we should be looking for business development and not residences.
There's no business looking at the moment.
Right.
These developers, who are you? I thought you said that
they're developers, but they are residential developers. That piece might end up with a commercial component, well, but they are residential developers.
Is that property currently zoned for residential? The one on the corner?
I believe it's mixed use.
B2 or
which one? Cider Mill. Yeah.
There's four different.
It's in two different zones.
It's in two different zones.
Portion
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Cider Mill is zoned residential. The front portion was originally zoned industrial. I know the zone changed.
I don't think it's ever been industrial, but maybe business.
It was commercial. It was a business zone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what business.
Which was typical along the Route 44 corridor.
Right.
The first 300 feet in from the edge of the street was typically zoned business. And then beyond that, it was usually zoned R1 or R2.
R2, right.
Maybe you get a residential property with a gym on it.
Gym, laundromat,
gym, daycare.
Coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's where those conversations are going.
Great escape back here.
Hold the water.
Yeah, so, you know, if I may, the other element here is out of this board's hands, and that's the zone, because you're going to have to, zoning is going to have to relook at that whole area, what you can do and how it can be zoned. Generally, in the past, when something like that comes up, the developer will come in with a recommendation. We'll come in. We'd like to have this current zone of this, and if they have half a brain, they'll present you with a plan of what this development allows and so on and so forth, which I would think that's what I would anticipate happening. They also have, that's why they have to go through the sewer authority, special chair. That's the same, it's the same, not quite the same intensity, because with, you know, you have to have a zone change to do it. But once that's in place, but that's why those we've always tried to work together with P&Z, because it doesn't pay to one work here, one work there. It has to be a coordinated effort. And the sewer authority, the board has always wanted to be cooperative with zoning and trying to keep everybody abreast of what's going on. So it's a, you know, it's you, it's zoning, it's sewer authority.
So the beauty of the cider mill project area is 44 is a state road. Cider mill is a state road. So none of the traffic plowing, there's a store across the street, the bus route. It's a
prime piece of property.
How many people would you see from that development coming through to Senator Bolton? it wouldn't increase the traffic pattern through Bolton or anything.
It would, but minimal.
Probably minimal, yeah.
Yeah.
We'd hope that people would get involved in how to come to the center of our town. Like, let's be in.
I mean, part of that property's got it. How far in do you have to go before you get into Manchester or Vernon?
I don't think the cider mill property is in either town. I think
it's all in Bolton, but right on the property.
Okay.
Well, it looks bigger than you think. It's about 30 acres, and it has a section on east side of Cider Mill.
Right. And then there's one behind Three Days, right?
Right, but the rest of it on the Manchester side of Cider Mill, that's all Manchester Water Company property. Right.
And they do
Palpable.
I mean, obviously, you know, I wouldn't want a developer coming in and saying, like, we're going to put 200 units here, right? Like, I know there's various fiscal feasibilities, but, like, to the traffic point, right? Like, that's not a massive intersection. There's already issues with how it operates right now. You know, if we can get a developer who's willing to do affordable duplexes, or, like, one market rate, one affordable, right? And, you know, if we're making sure, if we get the opportunity to talk to these developers, to let them know that there are bonding, there's a lot of bonding dollars through the state of Connecticut right now to build affordable housing. Nobody wants a 100% affordable complex, and nobody wants a 100% market rate. We want integrated housing in the town of Bolton, and I think that's the way we should really be selling this moving forward. I mean, I'm all for, like, increasing housing, but I don't think that we want a massive development there. And the sewer and the water probably wouldn't allow for it either. So we're looking at a sweet spot, probably.
And we're looking for kids.
Don't tell I mean, a lot of people say you don't want kids, but we need to fill up our our classroom.
Yeah, that's
two choices.
It'll fill up.
That goes back 20 years now. When they're worrying about over
right.
flooding our
spaces.
Yeah, when I was there, it was the idea class sizes were growing.
Okay.
Right. And the one thing it does, even looking at a condominium complex, that right now is the only affordable new starter homes possibility.
Even those aren't affordable.
What's the choice? You can build a condo. Let's say it's a two-bedroom condominium. You can buy it a hell of a lot cheaper as in a complex than if you bought a piece of land. You had to build that same house on that land.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably $100,000 difference.
Yeah.
And that makes it – that's the – if you will – when you talk affordability, we got to bring it up to today's standards of what affordability is. It's pretty high. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a complex going in Glastonbury. I think they said either on Main Street or Hebron Avenue. That's affordable. And the comments on social media were exactly that. Like, what are the affordable?
The AMI.
What does affordable mean in Glastonbury?
Right.
You ideally want to tier it, right? You want some units targeted to the deeply affordable that are rentals, right? You want some targeted to, like, 60 to 80% of AMI. And then you want other ones 80 to 120% of the AMI.
Right.
Area median AMI.
So moving forward... I don't know. Do we want to dwell on that anymore? We all kind of got the gist. I mean, there's a lot of developable property up there, and there could be more in the
area.
Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that was a good conversation.
So next we move on to the infrastructure, the Route 6 and 44 intersection, which everybody thinks is a total nightmare. And
I heard that they don't think there's enough fatality accidents in that area to actually warrant a design change?
Well, I'm not going to participate. So they have said that, but their original plan years ago was like $100 million reconstruction of that or something. And we're in the midst of trying something different with CROG, which is the Connecticut
needs to be around back.
Governments.
So are you having meetings on a regular basis with CROG? Okay. And when was the latest one?
Tomorrow.
You're having one tomorrow. That's excellent. Okay. All right.
With
and,
Rob.
And the there's a piece of a road, kind of, but with it, it's all interchange includes.
Prague has expended time and effort to come up with an alternate plan that we hope we can sell to DOT that solves all of the problems, not some of the problems.
Wow.
Bicycle
is about half the cost.
Damn.
Notch Road.
So somewhere between 50 and 60 million.
That is a lot lower than what we were looking at before.
So did you say CROG came up with this plan?
Mm-hmm.
CROG was staff input. Patrice and I and Rodney have been meeting with them regularly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so tomorrow's meeting is with just with CROG or is it DOT?
It's just
also?
With CROG. It's just
when
with
CROG. It comes to meeting with DOT, we will not be involved.
Our meetings with DOT have not gone well.
So that's CROG. We'll meet with DOT.
Well, DOT has a new administration, from what I understand, and they have people who get along with them.
Yeah.
So they're best suited to deal
with. CROG feels that they are better suited to approach the topic without, once we agree, they think they're best suited to try to have a soft approach with DOT and the new management at DOT.
What is CROG?
Capital Region Council of Government.
It's our meeting.
So are you, what's the goal of tomorrow's meeting?
Hopefully that we can iron out a plan that they can present to DOT, the finalized plan that they can present to DOT.
Okay, so they actually have like a plan, mm-hmm. like a design.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense to go to DOT before it's come to the full board and before it's been shared with like the public?
No.
I mean, I'm only...
No, I got the question.
That was going to be my exact question. Is
you'd hate for like it to say like one that we're ramming it down people's throats and not getting feedback, right? Even if that feedback is just to allow people to see it and know that it's happening, like
yeah, I'm sure the people like Walk Bolton will be.
That's one constituency, right? But we just don't want. I don't know. It sounds like a PR nightmare if we don't somehow provide an opportunity for sharing and feedback first. Mm-hmm.
If I may, I'm not.
Go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with what you're saying, but I think you have something that's in its infancy stage that you really want to get deep feedback into this thing before you start bringing public feedback in, because they may want to, you know,
it may drive more changes.
And they may drive significant changes that would modify what you're thinking.
So yep. D before dot, is that what
it's DOT? He misspoke.
Oh, okay. All right.
DOT, I'm sorry. I got fed up with all those.
But
yeah.
But and having, and quite frankly, having worked with them, you're dealing with a bureaucracy that's sort of stuck in its track. And that's why CROG is a force that's sort of separated enough from the town they will listen to this group rather than listen to us. So I think it's a wise move letting them look at it, get some suggestions back. Then you have the outline of a plan that you can then present to the public and then public feedback. Because DOT, if they start getting into this, they will have multiple hearings on this as they're required. So I hate to see happen is what's happened in the past. We come up with a plan and it just gets thrown out. Because we've had plans that would have worked. They've been expensive plans. And we've all had all kinds of meetings and everything else. And just got thrown out. I think here, if we can get a plan that the state is willing to support, that's when you bring in all our forces, everyone in this town. That's an issue that has plagued us since the construction, and to finally have a possible pathway, that's a huge deal. If you guys can get started on this, you can walk out here. No matter how long you stay here, you'll walk out feeling really good about what you've done.
That exactly always that.
So tomorrow, CROG is going to be presenting to you to a plan, and they're going to send
Patrice. It's Patrice sits on
the board.
Yeah, well,
the transportation
committee.
So this is the plan that CROG has drawn, and they're going to say to you, "What do you, Bolton, think of it?"
And we've already had at least one of those meetings, if not two.
And then if you say yes, then they're going to go to take it to DOT.
They'll see if DOT is willing to be interested.
Yeah. Okay,
but they need a picture, and they need a dollar amount to play with. So they can go to CROG and say, hey, or to DOT and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. This takes care of this problem. It'll take care of the Notch Road coming out into the 644. It'd get rid of that. And it would get rid of the people trying to get across there. Like
parking and access to the trail without crossing or having anything crazy.
And then so CROG is the one who's will come up with an estimate also to present to DOT.
Yep. So you got some pretty intelligent kids in there, I guess, because they came up with a pretty ingenious plan.
Or do you think, have you seen even drafts of this plan?
Previously, yes.
Okay. So do you feel like tomorrow you'll sign off on it and say yes, go see if DOT will talk to you about it?
Well, yeah, we don't want to keep just muddling around and tearing it up.
I think we were really close at the last meeting. Yeah. So I suspect that they've addressed concerns that we brought up at this meeting, which really were mostly trail access and parking for the trail and not having to make any crazy crossings anywhere. I think they've probably addressed those. And I suspect once we see that, it'll be time for them to take it to DOT and see what DOT's feedback is. And if we get some positive reaction from DOT, then bringing in the entire board and the public becomes, I think, really possible at that point.
But they took care of this 6 heading west. We can get on 44.
And if DOT is willing to come to the table,
good.
Wow, then good. We approach our legislators.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And Krog is familiar with the money that the state DOT has available and what they're trying to do with it. So they can, Krog actually advises people. What's that?
Understanding the pathway of how to actually get it done. That's probably important.
I assume the intersection design promotes people slowing down from highway speed to a reasonable speed for that intersection.
Maybe not on the Route 6 side of things, but it's an intersection.
Okay. Well, because I'm thinking about the highway speed, you're supposed to go down to 45, a half mile 40, before you reach that intersection.
Right, right.
But that current intersection doesn't necessarily promote.
They're going to, with the changes that are proposed, they're going to be forced to slow down.
Okay, all right.
And so the question I had too, it's to your point, Jim, earlier of talking to the three phases of the water rollout too. What is like the envisioned line of those phases, and would it go through this area where we're going to do a whole bunch of work and then we would tear it up again to run the water, or do they have anything to do with each other?
They could, but like the sewer runs through there, and the sewer does not run under the road; it runs beside the road, and I think there would be enough room to essentially put the water line in the same location.
Okay. And that's something that we could do, we have all the...
For $300,000, can we put this piece of pipe in?
Yeah. And then we'll get out of the way, right, yeah.
That would make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that people hate more is when you do construction, then you say, I got to do it again.
Look at the new patch on that new road.
Yeah.
And that's how you got this section of pathway that goes from the parking lot, the commuter parking lot, and then down to the rails and trails. And we did the sewer line.
The sewer line runs through there.
What we did is we built the road out as part of the sewer project with federal grants so we could have that walkway.
That's
it can be done.
Well, I look forward to hearing a report on how that meeting goes tomorrow.
Yeah,
we do too. So let's see, that's the infrastructure. Facility needs, leverage school space for town shared space, and town community space, size, accessibility, and locations. So we're still coming up short on space. We were hoping somehow to get rid of that rental thing. annex building, sorry.
Yeah.
Rental thing is more appropriate, I think.
we of course just don't have space anymore. So there's a couple possibilities we're working on. We get the grant to redo Notch Road rooms A and B into one bigger room, which we're hoping can become a voting center as well. It's not like we can use that for town people, but it could leave the registrars over there.
Why can't we use it for people?
Well, we can, but we want to use it for meeting spaces because that's our meeting space area. We don't have any other meeting space.
Yeah.
So would the idea be that it'd be a multi-purpose space? Like you have meetings there, but you could have, let's say, two offices on the side. You could have table, similar to what this used to be.
Yeah, you have partitions here.
Yeah. Used to vote in this room.
Right.
And back when it
was the key is to get bathrooms in there. Real.
Mm.
So We're working on that. Anything else you want to add to that, Jim?
No, so I just to clarify, you know, right now we have a very, very preliminary design that the registrars of voters were involved in, as well as the recreation department and the senior center. And we look to incorporate to meet some needs of all three of those departments in these spaces. And the idea is that it could be one wide open space, but also have movable partitions. So it could be also two smaller spaces.
It's not that big a space to begin with.
Yeah. No, my question was going to be that I thought I had heard something of like a facility use study.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story.
That's okay, because it's still kind of like one, it's chicken egg.
Not really. No, we.
I'm sure they're even looking at that.
Okay, so that is just a thing that is, it's a foregone, that space needs to be renovated and we need it, and the she shed needs to be gone. And that.
Well, she shed doesn't need to be gone, but we would like to find a better solution.
Okay. The rental thing.
She shed.
And it disappeared.
Yeah, you're not going to get rid of that building until you build a new town hall,
mm-hmm.
whether you like it or not. There's simply, you can't, there's no way you can reconfigure all that space. What you can do is make it more roomy in there so whoever's left in there has sufficient area to do things better than what it is now. So, I mean, as much as you may, I know everybody has their little quirks and dislikes and this and that, but no one has come up with a better solution for a short term. It was meant to be a short term. It is a short. Short term is not 1 year. Short term is 4 to 5 to 6 years. Why is that? Until you can come up with another $8, $10, $12 million for town hall,
we're stuck.
That's the difference. That's the key. The key is to be able to fund an office facility, office building, town office building, whatever you want to call it, that can accommodate that and other things. In the meantime, you have to have something. That's what they're for.
So until we come up with some other working plan, we're there. But
right.
We're...
So then is there a clear understanding that is defined of need beside perception of like how, you know, a town government works in 2025 and like what is, you know, not only our relation to the public.
A 10-year from now plan? Or
now or even in the future. The future is obviously best because nothing's going to happen right away, but kind of have a full understanding of, you know, both. Like, I feel like there's so much dynamism going on in town that there are things in flux, and it seems to be, you know, it would make sense to look at this in a 10-year, 20, 30-year perspective on the, what is our needs now? How do we envision changing it?
So
not only from our perception, but with some support.
So they're doing the study, which is going to go to most of the facilities and do an ask, just do a study on it to whether it needs repairs. That ultimately is more, as Tim said, it's more of a maintenance schedule type thing. So they'll tell us what needs the most. But then it also gives us the opportunity to have an asset list that's been evaluated when we go to get bonds and grants and stuff. Because if you go for a bond, they want to know what your assets are. And if you can hand them that and they're all in good shape, then you're halfway there.
And you have, I'm sorry, Glenn and a subcommittee have been working on a plan for a town hall facility. So that and there's fund is actually funds in your
well, budget. Yeah, it's on pause until the facility study is done, though. Again, the facility study will answer some of the questions that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Are these buildings suitable for use now? And they're also going to be projecting too. It's not just going to say you need this much space for 2025. I'm not sure exactly the time frame that they look out, but they definitely look out. It's a visionary. It'll be a visionary study as well.
Like STB?
Yes.
Is that who did? Okay.
Yeah.
This one, you'll know what kind of dollars you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
when you can do it. And I think the other thing that you look at, that we always look at, is where's your debt? Where's your debt being finally paid off? And that's always, you know, if you want a maximum target as to when you can do it, that's the bad news.
So, I don't know how late you guys want to stay, but
not much longer. I mean, we've been talking. I'd like to leave. I would just like a comment for. Well, Bob's been on for a while. By the way, Bob, I'm glad this old Bob's been replaced by that old Bob. Welcome aboard to this organization. I'm glad to have you back. But one of the things that all the years I've worked here, I can tell you one thing. The key to success is the people you've got working here in this town hall. Utilize them. They're there to answer your question. They're there to help you. So I think Jim or Kathy, anyone will say that. If you have a question, ask. Please do. Utilize these people. That's what they're there for. That's it.
And praise them when they do good. Please. That's...
Hey, good luck, guys.
Got to keep the moral up.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome, Mr. Bob. This is the guy that sucked me into another organization.
He's pleased with himself.
Yeah, I know he's glad. You know how to believe me.
Good night, Bob.
Thank you.
Moving on to the new business tax revenue, zoning regulation simplification. And I think we have went over most of that.
And PZC is actually working on their regulations, and they have been for a while.
Yeah. That, again, that's Mike, who is a subcontractor to the town, and Patrice. They do most of the legwork to come up with what they should be putting in for zoning.
And not that I want to make everybody come to another meeting, but normally this time of year, we try to get together with the land use boards and have a conversation. So Rodney and I have talked about it, but we haven't come up with a date yet.
Yeah, I think we should definitely do that.
But we have plenty of reasons to have meetings. Don't you?
What we need out of that meeting is a summary of changes. I think I said this before, but a summary of changes and how it's made the code simpler or more friendly to business. Because Bill Anderson, let's be quite frank, is very loud about how our codes our plan, are not friendly to business. And so I keep trying to say they're improving, but I don't have the knowledge to say how. And so fair. If we can come up with an executive summary that like shows what we've done, I think that would be really good from a public perspective.
Like a flashy that compared old to new kind of thing, or maybe incubator.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah. I think before we meet with the other land use boards, we should have that.
That'd be helpful to, you guys too.
Right, I was going to say.
And us too, yeah.
From my new guy perspective, when we have a chat about something that seems like it could be actionable, is this something, Jim, that you just kind of put back and you bring to them, or is that for... You know, from an administrative.
So I really have nothing to do in my role. I really have nothing to do with the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So that fly sheet would be for that. I thought that was the way I had understood it was for a contractor or staff person. I'm sorry.
In theory, Patrice would have to do it, but I guess Planning and Zoning could ask them to do it. So I can ask my husband to ask.
So can we ask Patrice to do that?
So as a board, you can request that I seek out a response from planning and zoning to those things, but I don't typically interact with the Planning and Zoning Commission. Yeah. I interact with the staff on a regular
basis. Right, and so that was why I thought that it was the way what Amanda had proposed was a staff initiative, is the way I'd heard it.
Well, staff would do the work.
Right. Okay. So. Okay.
I think you're saying the same thing. So could we ask you to ask Patrice to prepare that summary of the changes?
Sure.
Would you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Happy to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll stop talking.
There's the request.
Let's see, the new business. Of course, we got the economic development thing. And again, there's activity on 44 in a couple different lots. And then there's the governance. We need more grant capacity staff. There was 4 votes for that.
Uh-huh. That's, during this year's budget season.
You put all 4 of your pens here.
It needs to be part of your conversation is how do we build grant capacity?
A lot of jobs.
No.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I know, my spare time.
It's a job. It's not spare time.
I think Amanda put four pens in.
Can you define what you mean by that better, Amanda?
I don't know what it looks like. Does it look like a consultant to work for you part-time? Does it look like a staff position? Does it look like carving out a piece of someone here? Does it look like, I mean, just the ability to, one, find grants and apply for them, that doesn't mean more demands on your time, right? Because your time and Kathy's time is limited.
I think.
And if we had more capacity, we could find more grants and go after more grants.
So the other piece of it, I think, yeah, which is why I asked you to define that a little better, is managing these grants, right?
But the consultant can also,
that takes up a lot of our time.
The consultant can also submit reporting. Now there's the financial piece, but honestly, like, allocating expenses to a specific grant is not that bad.
The financial piece isn't huge.
There's
a tremendous amount of paperwork that goes into every one of these payments.
And so, yeah, I mean, I know it's hard to pass a budget with an extra staff person, right? But, like, I think, you know, it's something I think we need to pilot, whether it's as a consultant or a staff person, see if they can bring in more than they're worth, right? Like,
yeah.
So we can kind of only handle so many projects at a time. The grant match is just a killer on that budget.
But not all, I mean.
And then once you get these things built, you know, this new field and these new walkways, so you're going to have to hire another.
These are things.
What we've done here with this strategic plan is we've identified our vision and our strategy.
Yeah.
Now we need a way to fund it. How are we going to fund it? We need someone to go out and get those grants to fund it. Right. And so.
Most of these grants just don't give you money to fund things you don't need. They're things you know what I mean? It's just.
There are ways that, like, you know, there's small grants through Sustainable CT. There's the Affordable Housing Plan grants. Like, there are ways to get to them. No, it's not easy. And no, it's not going to be 100% funded. Right. But, like, we need to.
But we also don't have to say yes to them.
I think the first step would be to benchmark with other small towns, figure out how they handle, like, the grant management. Like,
right, and you can get a shared Columbia and over. We do a ton of shared positions. Can we find another town who wants to share a position with us, right? Like
another town that's in a similar position that's already applying for these grants, and we might be able to say, hey, who are you using to do this, and how can we adapt it to be for us, too?
I mean, I think it's worth exploring what other towns do, at least, to build their capacity.
It doesn't hurt to get info, just with a... With the knowledge of, we don't want to create more ongoing maintenance. That's a big,
agree.
That's a great point, because that just adds costs. As nice as it'd be to have all the things. We'll be cognizant of that, right? And be cognizant of our goals and get information. And if it's not a good fit, then we just decline it.
Splash pads are maintenance free.
Splash pad is a must. So that's not a want. That's a need.
But thank you. That's helpful.
I mean, I don't know what it looks like. I mean, but I think it needs to be part of the conversation, even if it means adding money into the budget, is what I'm.
And what is the existing grant writing capacity, both in, like, the pre and posts?
Write them all.
It's Jim.
Well, the library will apply.
Yeah. I mean, so, and I've, you know, to Amanda's point, too, I've also been trying to pull in other staff members when appropriate. I mean, Stephanie is helping me with the information on the Parks and Rec grant. I had her write a grant for the Hartford Foundation for Giving. It's a very small, easy grant. It's a great way for a new staff person or a young staff person, you know, who's a developing manager, to get involved in some of this stuff.
And Carrie helped with the van grant, right?
Carrie actually did the van grant, right?
There's kind of an art to it. You gotta come up with a sales pitch.
Right, but it is specific skill set, right? And not all staff members have that skill set. And honestly, it's the finding the grants.
I run nonprofits. I get it. I empathize fully with.
Yeah. We've done very well with our grant writing. You know, our success has been very, very high.
Yeah, especially that 1.2. We're aligning.
Well, that's 1.7.
1.7. Okay. Mm-hmm. I undercut you, sorry.
That's a big one.
Okay, moving along. Let's see.
That's a covert.
Leverage Parks Rec and parking, which we get grants for that. The bulletin, and the Connecticut. What's the name of the other one that Patrice works on? That
Connecticut's countryside.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if anybody works on that, but that's a hot spot. Establish town agencies consortium meetings quarterly. We've been doing. So there's another supervisors meeting that you're doing those twice a year?
No, quarterly.
Those are quarterly.
I thought, didn't that mean though?
Yeah, I don't think that means supervisors meeting, but I do, no. I do supervisors meetings quarterly.
I thought that meant like land use boards.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought this meant, which I think you're talking about having one, but I also think that we should be meeting with the Board of Ed a little more frequently too. I would say at least twice a year.
The conversation between the Board of Ed and us has increased.
It's regular at this point. So with between administration at least.
Okay. Well, maybe you could report more regularly to the rest of the board then, because I don't. That would just help me understand where you're standing and what you're talking about.
Sure.
I think all of us would be interested in hearing more.
Yeah.
And I do think it may behoove you, and I know you don't need another subcommittee, but or maybe you can be the personnel subcommittee or something, but having, and we did this on the finance committee, right, but having a very specific committee focus on communications, so the bulletin, improvements to the website, you know, there's things that can be done, and sure, the town would have to implement it, but they shouldn't have to come up with all the solutions either, right? Like, if you guys can come up with ways to do things better, format things better, you know, do some of the legwork for the town staff, right? I think transparency has been what we've been asked for, and how do we do that best within the resources that we have, right? I think there's some people in town who would like a newsletter mailed to them, but that's just not going to happen, right? And so in lieu of some of those things, how do we make the best of what we've got?
I had a thought on this, and you could tell me if it's absolutely ridiculous too. And right. It's recognizing that a lot of people, you know, I guess part of communication is meeting people where they are, and that we are a diverse town, and so we communicate differently too. But one of the it would be so helpful to know how people kind of want their information. Like, this is something that I've stood in there and griped about too.
Right.
Is like, I don't know how to know this, and so, you know, trying to navigate the town websites.
Yeah.
Frustrating, like, you know, the Bolton Bulletin like does have room for improvement, and so if we were to utilize like, you know, a survey that went out in the Bolton Bulletin and like, you know, just something in the green to say, you know, we want your feedback on how to communicate better, and like, you know, we have a couple options on, you know, more in the bulletin on this, you know, to going to a newsletter mailed to your house, and then we kind of discuss and say, you know, we want to have time set aside in a meeting, which will be a meeting, but on how to better engage with the town, and, you know, kind of then navigate both, you know, from the most cost efficient approach, you know, to the, you know, kind of weighing the the cost benefit analysis of it all.
I think you would need to post a link for whatever survey you decide, post a link in different social media groups or other places as well, because if you only post in the Bolton Bulletin,
your
responses are going to be displayed one way or another.
Of course.
You just need a survey to figure out how to send the survey.
I don't hate that. I do. I mean, but,
that's basically my idea.
But a shotgun approach of just sending it anywhere we can.
Agreed.
I don't know how then we.
Yeah, is that
right?
Could we refer that to one of the subcommittees to flesh out a little bit more?
Oh, we could do that. Yeah,
because we could maybe figure out some
plan.
Yeah, some action steps.
You're on the personal subcommittee, aren't you?
No, Bob is.
Oh, Bob is.
I forgot.
No, Bob's on this chat.
Disappeared. We've had enough. But I couldn't think of his name. Empty chair at the RNC.
Well, we'll have to pick a committee.
Say that again?
Better.
Who are you talking about?
Glenn Eastwood. The empty chair at the RNC.
Oh.
It's not that derailed conversation.
So, moving on. Well taken, well put. The establish the quarterly meetings, which I think we've been having a lot of meetings. Well, not
we have a lot of meetings. Yes, I'm not sure that they addressed that specific goal.
The coffee meeting that was before. That right before a combined meeting. Like we had one, I think, right before the three-party meeting, seems to me.
So our intent with the coffee thing is we're going to have those an hour before the finance committee meetings once the budget starts to roll along.
That's part of the recent conversation with the Board of Ed. They seem to be well received, so we want to continue to capitalize on that.
Thank you.
Well, coffee and conversation is almost like a casual version of this, although we didn't invite all town agencies to it, but
it is kind of casual.
Board of Ed show up.
And it is part of the communication thing too.
Mm-hmm. Board of Ed comes.
There's 20 people here and 20 people on.
And there's only so much we can do practically as a board and as a town too. But,
that's right. Yeah. And that's kind of like wide open.
Yeah.
But it's the wrong hours. It's this. It's that.
All right.
So one at noon, one at 4 p.m.
You've done the next one. Check that off.
All right. Okay. The public safety.
Mm-hmm. Schools.
Schools.
Increased collaboration. Done.
We've been doing that. The results will be known pretty soon. Sometimes it's a little kind of private, and you don't want it out there in the public because they're just trying to muddle through a couple things that we don't want to let out yet. It's too close to some people.
Okay.
Not in a bad way, but.
Okay.
So.
Now I'm curious.
Me too.
I thought we checked this one.
It's all.
Tim's just trying to move us on.
Tim, I'm new here. I got time.
Public safety. Let's see. We're having a study done on the fire department that will be signed up the kickoff.
We're working on finalizing the contract with Manitou. Sent it over to town attorney, got feedback, sent town attorney's feedback back to Manitou.
I need the court.
Manitou has addressed that. And so we'll wait for the town attorney to review it again. We should be executing the contract, I would think, within the next couple of weeks. And then we will we'll be looking to put a subcommittee together for that to work with the consultant.
And that'll be consistent of a couple of fire people, a couple of...
Well, my thinking was a facilities and public safety subcommittee and then some representation from the fire department and fire commission.
Right.
And the
that's my thought.
To look at the structure of the fire department.
So we were looking at a bunch of things, right? I mean, part of it,
the whole
fire. So we're going to address a piece of it in the facility study, but I think the strategic plan for the fire department will also be addressed a little bit in the strategic plan for the fire department because we're going to be looking at equipment. We're going to be looking at personnel. We're going to be looking at the future of the fire department. And, if you need more equipment, then you need a bigger fire department. If you need less equipment, maybe you don't need an addition to the fire department. If you're going to end up with a combination department, you may need sleeping quarters in a fire department. So there are a number of things that will be driven by the strategic plan.
Thank you.
It'll help the board. Excuse me, and the public make informed decisions in the future.
When is that expected?
So the expectation is that we will probably start the project sometime in December.
So and we're doing it because the thinking is the volunteer people, there's just not enough volunteer people. So and there's not enough responders during the day. So it's possible that we may have to hire a full-time person to cover during the day. So, this will put it all together in a pretty picture.
Yeah. Although I will say that changes that the board voted on, I think it was 2 years ago, to enhance the benefits to the volunteer firefighters has really made a difference. We have I listen to just about every fire call that happens in town, whether it's a medical emergency, a car accident, or a fire. And at this point, we rarely need mutual aid.
Okay.
Unless it's a big event. Our first responders are responding to our needs. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is the changes that were suggested by the fire chief and the fire commission and the board of selectmen agreeing to implement those changes with enhanced benefits.
So thank you to all the fire department volunteers.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yes. Okay. And last on the list is resident state trooper staffing and regional alternatives. The state police have gone through a change in their administrative staff. So it's all new people. And it seems like they're trying to help the art people out a lot more. So that's a big plus.
That's good.
But isn't there still a question about whether we could join a police department from another town and cut costs of the state troopers?
We went to a meeting, and I know Coventry was raising her hand saying, oh, they all want money. Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. And is that a good, is that?
I don't know. I haven't pursued that yet, but you know, it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, last I knew there were legal obstacles being able to combine with another town. There are, I believe, statutory obstacles to that have not yet been removed. We've also talked about trying to coordinate schedules of resident state troopers in neighboring towns so that it's kind of round-the-clock coverage. Our troopers do that very loosely at this point. But we had that discussion specifically with the senior leadership at State Police. Is it back in October?
Yeah, it's the last one.
And that's a contractual issue that we can't get around.
They have too many rules within their own house.
So, because we share animal control, right?
Yeah.
It's just different.
Right.
Yeah.
Could we get a definitive answer to whether it's against state law to combine police forces? Because it seems like this is an unresolved issue, and we're paying close to $300,000 for our troopers.
Right around $300,000.
Which one's closer? Manchester might be. The police station would be closer, right?
The Hebron police station might be the closest.
I didn't know Hebron had a police station.
Actually, is it right in the center of town?
It's right across from RAM. Like the entrance to RAM. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I guess you can call it the center of town.
Well,
really
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. RAM or Vernon. I just think that it's an unanswered question.
Hebron would be closer.
I see the Hebron police officer driving through town sometimes. I think there's some relation.
Because Manchester's pretty close. But
both Manchester's close, about pretty close. Six,
but I would imagine, right, Manchester 6 miles, would be a much larger department too. And so,
don't ask me how I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to a mile off.
Yeah. I've run it before.
Yeah, and I just find that in Pennsylvania, it became very normal for smaller towns to start combining like 20, 30 years ago, especially in like the steel mill areas as the town started to contract. It became very normal too. So just interested in the different state legislation on it.
And I don't, in our conversations with the state police, you know, what they tell us is, you know, right now, you know, those departments, there are legal obstacles to them responding to Bolton unless it's a very serious incident. So like if a police officer, if one of our resident troopers is under fire, mm-hmm. for instance, then a trooper from Manchester or Coventry or Hebron or Vernon could respond, but it has to be something of a very serious magnitude for them to be able to respond across town lines.
Kind of like when they don't pull you over after you cross the town line, sort of thing.
But that's a different issue from the idea of having a police force that's not that's combined with another town's police force that's not state troop. So yeah, I'd be interested to hear the answer to that.
So it's 8 o'clock and we just hit the bottom of the list.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Is there any other? I mean, as the meeting goes on, you might want to read this. It's good reading.
And then we also have this work plan that Amanda prepared. Remember that? She prepared this in August of 24. So it was a few months after. It was a work plan that set out. I know she sent it to all of us. It gave the task, the next steps, who it was assigned to, the deadline, additional resources needed, status, and notes. And so I'm just taking notes, continuing on this. But it's really a nice...
How did we do? Did we accomplish everything we were looking to do?
No. We had too much to accomplish.
Question for future agendas. What would be best or the best way to get something on the agenda? Like, when do we need to get that to you by, or when do we need to be discussed to get it on the agenda?
Well, it has to go out on Thursday Friday for Tuesday meeting.
So like next week, we have to send the agenda out no later than Wednesday.
Right, because of the holiday.
Because of the holiday. Sure. But normally the agenda gets sent out. We're normally working on that agenda
all the time.
Yeah.
For weeks. Right after the next meeting, like after this meeting, we've got items that we probably want on the December 2nd. So those will automatically be incorporated. But, at the end of the day, what goes on the agenda is Roger's decision. So we try to get information to him as early as possible. Normally the week before a meeting, we're giving him a draft agenda to look at on Tuesday.
Okay.
But the agenda has to be finalized by Thursday afternoon.
Notice of meetings for public agencies is all spelled out here. Okay. Whether it's an emergency, a special, or a regular, emergencies are very different.
We a staff has to finalize that agenda.
So this wouldn't cover though, like the best method for us to get you information or like for the board to say, hey, we want this on the agenda.
Do you get it to Kathy, I would say.
Yeah, it can come to us, but yeah, we don't put it on the agenda without discussing it here.
Right. Yeah. And I come in three times a week, four times a week, five times, and they'll either.
We'll email them or text them if we have to.
Okay.
We'll try to be kind to the not last minute too. Were we to have a suggestion?
Sometimes last minute things are necessary, but we try to avoid it as much as possible because we also want to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do we have a motion?
A motion to adjourn.
I would second that, even though we weren't in a meeting session, were we?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's
true.
Right.
It's a round table.
It's a round table.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Good. Yeah. Thanks for having the round table. It's a good
idea. Yeah, that was really helpful for us.
Thank you.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah.
Look forward to accomplishing every item on that.
Bob, I know you know where to find me. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate. But gentlemen, please, if you have any questions as new board members, don't hesitate. At some point, if you just want to come sit down and have a conversation, make sure I'm going to be here first, but let's do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Complains a lot as nobody stops in.
Thanks, Bob. Good night.
Thank you. Okay. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Casey.
Nice meeting you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
You asked me, where are you at, Dominic?
Lewis.